Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from Tournament of Pizza. A lot of things to get to. A lot of feedback coming as well. I want to do this. I always tell you, if you're going to do something, make sure it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
If you're going to lose your credential, make sure it's worthwhile.
Sure.
If you're going to get beat up, make sure it's worthwhile.
Okay.
I missed my daughter getting engaged on Saturday to fly to Denver to witness an incredible event and to have the honor of our very first guest of today's show. He's been on before. He is the platinum one. Mike Perry. Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Randy Harris. I'm in the building.
I was in the building. Talk about what that experience was like on Saturday night.
Man, I feel like you always say that you missed something super important for your family for one of my fights. I feel bad.
Let me throw this out real quick, Mike. I consider you part of my family, so... You know, somebody's got to lose, and it wasn't you this time.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I had a great time on Saturday. Everything seemed to work out in the right direction in my favor. And, it's a long time coming. I've been at this game a long time. I feel like I'm looking at myself, and I'm quite a professional now.
I know that you've heard over the past couple days that you are now the face of BKFC. I kind of thought that was the point the day David Feldman told me he was signing you, that you were the face of this company.
Yeah, well, it's always up in the air when the fight's about to happen, that's where the odds come from, and people believe in who they believe in. I was the favorite going into the fight, maybe not when it first started, and I succeeded and I lived up to the expectations. And now the next fight that gets announced, when it finally does get announced, I'm sure it will have people talking, oh, this could be the new face of Bare Knuckle, or this. But people know that I'm willing to stay here. I'm willing to, I'm in it for this Bare Knuckle stuff. I really enjoy it. The boxing when you hit someone in their mouth and their teeth go flying, I got to watch out for my teeth, but I know what I'm in this game for and I know how to protect myself. So I don't think there's a lot of people that are jumping in line to step in there with me.
Now, I read somewhere that you said your strategy was break his hand on your face and then you're going to break his face with your hand. Did you say that?
That is what I said.
That was awesome.
I said I was going to headbutt his hands, and he's like, I'm going to kick you in your head. I was like, you're going to kick me? Come on. I was like, he was like, if you're going to headbutt me, I was like, well, headbutting your hands is legal. You're going to try to punch me in the head, right? I'm going to headbutt your fist, and then I'm going to step in and punch you in the nose.
You know, everybody has always talked about your demeanor and how relaxed you are. And, I saw you in the hotel on Friday, and if I didn't know that you had a big fight the next day, I would have thought you were headed to the beach.
Oh, man, that sounds pretty good. That's how I live my life, for sure. I'm always ready. I posted a little video and said it was date night. It was me and my girl, and they had us up in the skybox room watching the fights from up high in the arena. And then it's like, man, I'm going to watch some of these fights, and then I'm going to go, you know what? I want to get in there. I was like a fan that got to get in the main event and perform in front of the whole crowd and, And what a spectacular event it ended up being. The stars were out in combat sports, and I got a little face-off with the Notorious. How fun was that?
You know, I made this comment on Saturday, and I just want to do it while you're on as well. I wished fans knew more about combat sports, knew more about who was there, and I felt it was a little disrespectful. The ovation that Connor got when he walked in, and I heard two people yell something to Demetrius Johnson. Two. It would have been nice if Demetrius got some kind of ovation as well, being, some say, arguably on the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. That's Connor, man. He's the biggest part of the entertainment side of this fighting. He knocked a lot of people out. He was very entertaining with his words and stuff the whole time, and people don't always get the chance to see him at fight. Well, you know, I hear what you're saying. I do. I have a lot of respect for Demetrius Johnson and respect for Conor McGregor, but ultimately, of all the ovations that there were that night, it was my night, and I won, and so, you know, I'm grateful. You know, everybody, all the fans in there were like, man, I wish that could be me, but it was my turn. It was my time that night, and, you know, I'm looking to keep it going.
When did you come up with, and you always come up with great lines, obviously some of our best liners on our show are from you. When did you come up with asking Cowboy if you can get your arm back?
I've been thinking about that one for a while, man, you know. When I was calling him out, I hadn't seen him yet. And I called Connor in, and then it was like, you know, I was mentioning to Connor about the MMA math, about how he beat someone who armbarred me. And, you know, in this sport, it's different. And I was just kind of saying how my attributes add up to us fighting, and it would be a competitive match. And if he's interested, and I know everyone's interested, especially a prize fighter is interested in those big paychecks, and bare knuckle is paying. So I saw Cowboy after I was walking out of the ring. They're like, hey, Cowboy's back there. I was like, all right, let me go say hi. I went over to him, and he had like a bunch of gray hair, man. He's looking old. He's looking like he definitely don't fight anymore. So I was like, oh, you know, it's all love, man. I was just saying, give me my arm back, bro.
It was awesome.
So Mike, you know, obviously Randy and I were there at the Denver UFC fight when that arm broke. You know,
what did you give up to go out there on Saturday?
What's that?
Exactly.
What do you mean?
I gave up being around my daughter, being engaged. What'd you
I wasn't going to miss Platinum Perry. Like, I wasn't going to miss the biggest nut fight of the century. But no, Mike. So look, we've been there through all the years, all the antics, all the crazy publicity and headlines you make. I saw your wife or your girl in the corner. I know years ago you made headlines with like her being your only corner person and did this big statement, but she's still there. And how does she feel about the fight? Does she get nervous? Does she get excited? Is she like scared for you, or just loves the fight game as much as you do?
Good question, man. She's amazing. To be ready to go for that, it's a nerve-wracking thing for anybody who cares about their loved ones and going out to fight. And she's been there in the corner for about five or six fights now. She's been there for a couple other ones as well. And I don't know, we work together as a team. She lets me work. You know, she lets me focus. She knows it's up to me. And you know, I can't be getting beat up in front of my girl, man. So it gives me some motivation to go out there and do what I'm supposed to do.
You know what I noticed also on Friday, obviously in the hotel, and I kind of relate it to, you know, my wife and I have been married over 40 years. And you know, we don't necessarily react, you know, to everything. You walked into the lobby and she was on the phone and didn't even look up at you. And to me, that means what kind of relationship that this is real, not like, oh, there's Mike Perry. That's my boyfriend. That's my husband. That's my guy. She just stayed on the phone. Like, you didn't even walk through the lobby. I liked that.
Yeah, for sure, man. She knows that during those times, my attention is dragged in all types of directions. I have so many things I have to do, so many people I have to talk to, networking I have to do, and I have to support my fans that support me, and I have to, after the fight, there was one time when she was like trying to kiss me, but my intention was in all these different directions in the ring, and then she kind of just let me have my moment, and then, she didn't try to make it about her, or she let me enjoy it. She was happy that I had won, and then it's like I finally saw her in the back. Someone was taking a video of me walking through to the press conference. There's a video out there, and it's like, oh, hey, babe, hey. I see her, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at you. You look so beautiful. Thank you for being here. And, so I'm grateful to have her.
Good stuff.
So Mike, I got to say, man, I love the new professional Mike Perry. It looks good on you. The greatest combat champion or figure in sports combat came to you after your fight in the middle of the squared circle. So congratulations, my brother. I appreciate our friendship.
What was Connor yelling, during your fight? And was he yelling to you, at you, or to Luke, or at Luke?
You know what, man? I didn't hear Connor yelling for me. I know Eddie and Chad said that they heard him a little bit. And Eddie got the uppercut Connor was calling for, and I didn't hear it. I hope he was enjoying the show. I know he posted some things about the event, and he said some high regards to BKFC, and that's what's important, is that, we take the sport and we grow it, and that benefits me as well. So, I mean, everyone was entertained, and it is the entertainment business. That's what it was about. Maybe I wish I could have heard some of what he was saying, but we got the job done, and it was too easy. There is danger ahead. There's got to be some tougher fights on the horizon.
So you were so laser focused in the squared circle, you didn't hear Connor. I'm curious that when you felt Luke's tooth in your hand, did you lose focus for a second? What were the thoughts when you realized what's going on?
Well, I was able to hear my coach, right? I've trained so much, and I've focused on hearing what my coach has to say, and they were very high energy in the corner. When I did hit Luke with that shot, I believe I heard my coach saying, oh, get him, or something. And then, I remember feeling it in my knuckles, and I was just like, oh, I can't. Whatever that was, I didn't look at my knuckles because I know, I guess I figured something penetrated it. I was like, whatever that was, I want to feel that again right now in my fist. And I went after the shot, and Luke defended well, but then he was like, the gap was closing on him. And he knew I was getting closer and closer to landing another one of those shots, and he did not want to feel that, especially with his teeth already busted up.
So Mike, so that whole, like, not hearing Conor McGregor, that's actually your sympathetic nervous system taking over your responses. That's why you, like, the tunnel vision, that, and only the coach are you conditioned for advice in that environment is what you listen to. So remember my truck and the vertical gym, that's what I do. I've been busy, but I promise you, for this next fight camp, I'm going to get over there, I'm going to train you and give you separation from the next person that tries to come and take your belt. We're going to make you further ahead.
Hey, man, I'm well ahead already. I'm looking to stay exactly where I'm at or go even higher. And I know what it takes to do it. I know what it takes to focus. And I know how to turn it on when I need to.
Absolutely. Great stuff. As always, Mike, thank you very much. Congratulations. It was a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure it was a lot of fun to participate. Just do me a favor. Try not to fight next November, because my daughter will be really pissed if I miss the wedding to come to your fight.
Well, thank you. Props to Knockout Radio, and thank you to all my sponsors, everyone who watched the fight, tuned in, everyone who's looking forward to the next one. Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Take care. Platinum Mike Perry, heavily involved in Knockout Radio. We've been friends and partners in
the professional media. One.
Yeah, he's a good dude. All right, let's go hit a quick break and we will continue. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sound.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Anthony Davis, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is a Disco Inferno with Randy Harris, and I'm here to burn this mother down.
All right, we are back with you live from Tournament Pizza, St. Pete Racquet Club.
Disco Inferno, that was was that a rock and roll liner? Was that a musician?
No, wrestling. It was WCW.
Isn't Disco Inferno a song?
Disco Inferno was a song from the disco era. Okay. Would have been probably Saturday Night Fever, one of those Bee Gees movies. But Disco Inferno was a wrestler.
Were you a disco guy?
No.
I
don't know if I've ever danced since I was in a 24-hour dance-a-thon at the old mall in Pinellas Park, and my dad came and made fun of me.
Okay.
And then ever since then, no.
Because you know what opened downtown St. Pete last week?
No.
It's called Goodnight John Boy, and it's a 70s-themed nightclub with the Cubert-style disco floor or dance floor.
Oh, that's big deal. Dance floor. Who cares?
I mean, I know you're a Cubert fan, but...
Replay Museum in Tarpon Springs. All right? So I got notice, and this isn't necessarily a plug for him, even though it will be. So... my soon-to-be son-in-law contacted my wife, and he was going to propose and don't say the name, at some place in St. Pete that I guess had a video game or something.
Okay.
So I reached out to this Replay Museum in Tarpon Springs and was asking him questions. 100-some arcade games.
Okay.
And a Q-Bert.
Oh, nice.
So that's where the proposal went down. Good friend of the show, good friend of mine, Ron, was out there, shot some photos, when he got down on a knee, and then the kids went in front of the Q-Bert machine and took a photo.
That's cool.
That will be my photo.
That's your photo.
Well, I'm saying that's the photo that means it's Q-Bert.
So was any of the other family there, or was it just them?
No, it was just them.
Just the two of them.
Well, it was a surprise. She knew it was coming, right. Obviously, at some point. She knew the ring was in the house, But I'm pretty sure that she thought I was out of town. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
Right? Not knowing that I had this whole thing planned already. And but
so how's it feel? How's it feel? Your baby girl. Your
awful.
She's awful. She's going to be in.
Well, it's awful, but it's not because, you know, they moved away. They live together. Both have master's degrees. My daughter has a very big test to get something that's past the master's degree. You know, I'm very excited for her, but it's weird. It's weird because she is my baby.
Yeah.
We both know that we're going to embarrass each other at the wedding.
For sure.
We both know that. She told me what her plan is, which is something she's done since she was 6 years old. She's going to do it at her wedding,
okay.
Which kind of floored me. I am going to scare the dog crap out of the future son-in-law.
He's
at
not
the
scared
wedding.
Of you.
Oh, no, he is.
He watched you mow his grass every week. He's not intimidated.
Yes, he is.
He wouldn't even get off the couch to like help you out, get your glass of water.
Or walk out of the house.
Right. He just looked through the window like, oh, there's my father-in-law going to do the grass again.
But he's a good kid. And, you know, again, a master's degree, has a good future. He's a physical therapist. He was a teacher this year.
What if he wasn't a good kid? Like, would you be the father to put your foot down and be like, you're not marrying this guy? Like, I won't allow this to happen.
Oh, well, first of all, you can't say that you won't allow.
I mean, you're out of Hanukkah this year if you don't.
Well, they're out anyway. Oh. You know, once they're married, boom, you're gone.
Is that a rule? Is that how it works?
I would voice my opinion if I didn't like him.
Did she have boyfriends in the past you didn't like?
I never really got to know him because I scared him away too quickly. There was one. It was like around Thanksgiving, and I was doing the Thanksgiving that Staff Zone does, and what they do is they fly all their corporate people to different branches to do a Thanksgiving for all the workers. So my wife and I went to the Charlotte location, and I'm doing my thing. It's called a mitzvah. We're doing our mitzvah, and next thing I know, my wife's on the phone for an extended period of time. Well, my daughter is just, I don't even know what word to use.
Beside herself.
Beside herself.
Right.
That we did a full background check. I did a full background check. And I can't say which ones because I can't get anybody in trouble. But it was bad.
What?
Yeah.
You called in a background check on a boyfriend?
Absolutely.
Have you done one on me?
What you don't know won't hurt you.
Oh, man. Do you know about the bodies in D.C.?
I do.
Okay.
And Denver.
Well,
behind the dumpster at the pizza shop. You know, and the funny thing is the schmo was upset as well, but his comment was, I don't blame him for doing it. Just, he shouldn't have done it. And guess what? I'll do it all the time. I hope. And I've already told him numerous times I will kill him.
Wow.
So now it's documented.
Okay. There we go.
It is documented. Which I shouldn't have said publicly in case he comes up murdered. They're coming to me.
Okay.
But yeah, so hopefully Mike Perry doesn't fight in November of next year.
Speaking of Mike Perry's fight, I did see the schmo at the BKFC. It's nice to see schmo at all the events now.
All the events? He's at all the events?
Some.
Well, that's not
he's at the one that I'm at, because
right,
I don't get to go
the
to
the question
all of them.
That I really wanted to ask you is, have you, in your past, and we're going to run a little late, I'm sure, on this. In your past, have you run across somebody who, I don't want to say you befriended, just you were involved with.
Okay.
And he went from, or she went, from working hard to something bigger and better. And you're kind of like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That person now is on Channel 14 News?
Yeah.
Person couldn't tie their shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without being a smart ass.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the UFC video that I'm in this week.
No, with you being a tool bag? No, I'm not.
I thought you were like, oh, he was a nobody.
You are a nobody.
And then he built himself up on Knockout Radio. And now he's on.
Well, maybe if I just turn him off, he'll shut the hell up. So since obviously you have never, and mentored's not the right thing either, but I just got a text message. And the text message said, you'll never guess who this is who's listening.
Okay.
And my response was, you're correct.
Right, because you don't know the number. It's not saved.
Right.
It's an anonymous text.
This anonymous text was a close friend of my son's when they were 7, Okay. 8 years old.
All right.
He came up with one of the trademarked lines of Talking Sports and Knockout Radio. I'm liking the Devil Rays. This guy is now a chief in the United States Navy. I don't know if I'm proud of him or I'm scared. I'm not sure which. Not a chef, a chief.
Chief. Aren't those offensive? Like, we can't have chiefs anymore, right? There's no chiefs, Indians, Redskins.
You know, I never thought of that.
We have to change the title.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm offended.
Well, nobody cares if
because like the even the Land O'Lakes butter, they removed the Indian, and kept the land.
Right.
Which was what we did. I guess. Like years ago.
So congratulations. I know it happened a couple years ago, but former intern of Talking Sports.
So is that a bigger chief accomplishment than a guy you met?
Big ups, big accomplishment. He's getting ready to get fired again. Yeah, this will be the fourth time. To Chief John Toomey.
Well, congratulations, Chief John Toomey. I don't even have my confidence today because I've been beaten in my own competitive nature. I took second place, and I'll talk about it after the break.
This is Knockout Radio Minus Matt, brought to you by Tournament of Pizza, Staff Zone. I don't know why I even threw him a plug there.
Such a loser.
And yes, you are. And 8 Man Strong. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is George Foreman, and I'm talking sports with Randy Harris.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit Country Depot.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And you're back. This is Knockout Radio, coming to you live from the 1970s. Randy was a disco king.
Bare Knuckles now sanctioned in Georgia.
Oh, yep. Boy.
I got the press release this morning. The state of Georgia has now sanctioned bare knuckle fighting, opening the door for future events. Let's get to Atlanta.
Yeah, it's closer to home.
It's not closer to home. I just have a place to stay. I don't have to get a hotel.
Oh, that's true. It's true. But it's a lot closer to home.
What difference does it make?
Well,
an hour and 15-minute flight or a 3-hour flight to Columbia? What difference does it make?
Yeah. Well, Denver was a nice flight, direct flight. Really nice frontier. We all had our own rows on the way back. That was nice.
Well, I didn't. Somebody was in my row.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. You could have spread out.
I moved up to the bulkhead.
You did.
Yep.
Then somebody stole your billboard mats.
Yeah, they did.
You can't leave anything on a plane. They don't let you back on?
Well, I know. They wouldn't let me back on. They went back and said it was gone. Nobody took it.
Is that a safety issue?
Yeah.
You can't go back onto the plane if you leave something?
Yeah.
What if you leave your child?
Some people have on purpose. The one lady lost her phone. And how does a phone disappear that quickly? I once left, and I will not tell you the number. Okay?
Okay.
I left one of the small laptop computer bags with my laptop. And a sizable amount of cash on the plane.
Okay.
And didn't realize it till about 8 hours later.
Oh, wow.
How about that crap?
Did you find it?
They had it in lockup at the airport.
And the cash is still there?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
This is a different era.
Yep. The pilot grabbed it, saw it. You know, I was in the front, the bulkhead, saw it and turned it in. And, you know, for sure.
Wow.
For sure. Now, since we just had a United States Navy chief petty officer on who had, I think I counted 17 ribbons. I don't think I got a ribbon. Well, let me rephrase that. I know I got ribbons. I just never cared to go and pay for the ribbon.
Okay.
You know how they wear them. He had like 92 rows, I think, to me. I had my wallet stolen like 3 months into being on the ship. You know, money, a very, very cool item that I had that I wished I still did. I didn't care about the money.
So your wallet got stolen. You can't replace it while you're on a ship?
Well, first, we were not on a ship. We were in the barracks. We were dry docked. I can replace it. I couldn't replace the item that was in my wallet. Okay. And I offered a reward. I said, I don't care who stole it. I'll give you as much money as was in there. Keep it. I'll give you and I know what was in there, the money. But I had a used Carlos Santana guitar pick.
Oh.
That I remember it vividly. And it was funny because as far as I was concerned, Santana was the after concert. I was there to see Eddie Money and then to later be on stage for Eddie and all that kind of stuff. But Santana comes to the front of the stage, you know, playing his guitar, and he starts to like flip the guitar pick out in the audience and does like a parting of the Red Sea and flips me the guitar pick.
Huh.
It was pretty cool.
Wow.
Carlos Santana.
And so now that's no longer in the...
it's no longer in my possession.
No longer in the will. No more in the pass-me-downs to the family tree.
There's nothing that I have that anybody wants.
That's not true.
So let's talk about BKFC.
Let's do it.
You know, Saturday night. Great fights. I hope that I didn't piss off Arnold Adams.
Okay. Why would you do that?
Well, DJ Tony put a thing up about what he would like to see.
Okay.
And he would like to see Lorenzo Hunt fight for the heavyweight title.
Against Alan Belcher?
Against Alan Belcher, which is a decent matchup.
Decent.
No. You know, size-wise, the whole nine yards. And he said, this is Tony, that he's not overly excited to see Ben Rothwell fight for the heavyweight title.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not too excited to watch Ben Rothwell fight anybody because he beats them all. And Arnold just kind of like liked it or disliked it or whatever. I think Ben Rothwell's the real deal.
He looked big.
He did look big. You know,
and Copeland brought it.
He did, and that's what I was going to say. It wasn't a gimme.
It was not a gimme.
It was a close fight.
And Copeland brought it, and Alan, I think you're right. I mean, I just think he's just
he destroys big. Alan. Yeah.
And so powerful.
And that's where a lot of talk, you know, in the MMA world, as well as BKFC and Bare Knuckle and all that, it's just a huge jump from 205 to heavyweight.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, these guys walk around at 3, 310, 3, whatever, and then get down to the 265. Ben is a big, big dude.
He's a massive guy.
And I just, I don't know. I don't see it. Even with Lorenzo. You know, Lorenzo, I think, is just too small to handle. And yes, Lorenzo has power.
Speed kills.
No, it does.
Right? And on the football field and in boxing.
It kills, but you can only run away so long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
You just have to get in and get out without taking damage. I mean, you got to.
You only got
to
land one time, you know, when you're a big-ass heavyweight like that. So that fight was great. I mean, they were all great. Then the Christine fight, again, I felt very disrespectful.
No, see, I want to talk about that because Conor McGregor, like, we got wind that something was happening, right?
I got wind that he was coming.
Well, you got wind that he was coming. And then the security guard that I was training at the ring, I told him, like, hey, we have some people coming. You need to, like, stay in your post. So we're just talking. And then when Conor entered the building, the eruption, the pandemonium, like all that went down. But then the distraction for Christian Ferreira and Beck Rollins that have Conor McGregor, like unannounced, standing, yelling in the ring, I thought was a little... I thought it was the wrong time for that.
Okay. Well, but it would have happened no matter when he came out.
Right.
So you're going to be disrespectful to whoever is fighting unless you did it in between fights. Ah, maybe that was the thing to do. Do it in between fights.
That's what you should have. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying.
But it's crazy because, I mean, if you're a fighter and you see Conor McGregor walk into your fight, now the pressure is magnified by 10.
I heard, and again, I had a lot of people chirping in my ear. You know, like I'm sitting right next to the DraftKings dude. Hopefully, we'll have an announcement with DraftKings coming up.
Sure.
Buckle up. Hopefully, we're going to have an announcement with those guys as well. But I heard that they tried to hold Conor up. They were trying to wait to bring Conor out. And Conor did the Khabib. See, Conor learned from Khabib. And if you remember, and I've talked about this before, bucked up. What did I call it? Buckle? Well, that's because I got this buckle from this... belt I'm wearing and it's cutting into my gut. What was I just talking about?
You're talking about Khabib. Like, did he pull the Khabib?
Right. The Khabib went the press conference in Vegas, and Khabib's on the stage getting ready to go do the press conference, and Dana holds him up and says, "Hold on, we're waiting. We're waiting for Conor. He's not here yet." And Khabib's like, "I don't care. I'm going."
Right.
And that's kind of he learned. And when they tried to hold up Conor, he goes, "I don't care. I'm going." You know, everybody took their eyes off of arguably the best fighter on BKFC's roster.
Yeah.
And people are screaming him and looking at him, and people are jumping over chairs and trying to get pictures.
He's yelling to Beck Rollins. Right. Like he's like favoring another side.
Which is fine.
But, you know, but that's unfair to Christine. I mean, that wasn't the right time or place to display that. In the middle of the fight when it first starts, now it's a huge distraction she has to overcome.
But here's what I'll say. If there's any person
that can handle that kind of resilience.
Give a crap.
Brad doesn't care.
You think she even knew he was there?
No, because the sympathetic response. We talked about this.
Oh, my God.
And the tunnel vision. And she's only conditioned to listen to her corner.
Oh, my God.
She didn't know Conor was there. Nobody knew Conor was there.
They knew.
Do you think Cowboy Cerrone knew he was there?
Eventually, when the placement again for Mike Perry to ask for his arm back so that then he can fight Conor.
Great.
What was unbelievable.
Legendary.
But you know, I did think it was disrespectful. It needed to be done in between fights. It wasn't. And then for him to be screaming to Eddie Alvarez as well.
Yeah.
And again, I'm curious, not to the point where I'm going to call people and ask, but did Chad know that he was going to retire after that fight?
I would think so.
And if he did, he shouldn't have fought.
Yeah,
I mean, because that means he's already checked out.
That's what Masvidal did.
It was still a close fight, but...
That's why the UFC has fighters retire in their home country. You know, when Glover Teixeira did it in Brazil, he got to leave his gloves in his home country after his last fight.
Well, he didn't leave them. I'm sure they got picked up.
Fighters know
right.
when it's done. Like when they've made the decision, like, this is it for me. But they got to still, you know, pretend and sell it like it's...
And get another payday, and I'm not against that. I'm not against the payday,
right.
But it's you've already checked out. I would be curious how many times a fighter that's in their head, they didn't advertise it, but they've decided this is it. I'm done at the end. You know, when this fight camp's over, when the fight is over, I'm done. I'd love to know the percentage. We don't do research here. We can guess. How many actually win the fight?
Now, did you see Conor and your boy Kamaru exchanging little words and looks?
I didn't. I was on the other side.
So I have video. I was in the. I was behind.
I didn't snow people
Conor
to get to where you were.
I was working, and I was. But there was across the ring kind of a little banter between the two former champs, and
that's stupid.
That could be.
It could be what?
Could be stupid, but maybe
no.
Conor does bare knuckle. Maybe he's interested. But you know what I found interesting though? Cowboy Cerrone sitting next to Justin Gaethje, sitting next to Trevor Whitman,
right?
Sitting next to
teammates.
Sitting next to
Rose.
Muhammad Usman.
Right.
Sitting next to Kamaru Usman. Rose Yamanoudis in the same row.
Yeah, they're all together from the gym.
So they're all sitting there, and none of them were like clapping and standing up and cheering. Like the whole arena is standing up going crazy at different times, and they're just sitting. Is it too cool for school? Like, is it because they're fighters. But you would think as a fighter, you would appreciate the fan side of it, of getting cheers and the energy. Like, why are these guys not cheering and clapping and supporting?
Have you seen fighters cheer and chant and stuff? Like, you would see Clay Guida for Chad because they're friends and all that kind of stuff. But if they're not friends, I don't really remember a whole lot of times of them getting into it and cheering. And, you know, I've seen Cowboy Cerrone at numerous fights in Vegas. You know, him and I can't think, Zach Brown. You know, they don't high five and, you know, do the dipsy do dance. So I've seen how many fights when you have been and you look over in the Dana section and there's fighters over there. Do you see them going crazy and chanting? And
I mean, you kind of do at the knockouts and like the, if there's a big shock, you see them all erupt and like, you know, the hand over their head, like, oh my God, like in the shock.
The Joe Rogan?
Right, yeah, the Joe Rogan, like, you know, earthquake. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought they would be more into it. I'd be curious to see what they thought about bare knuckle. You know, as an experience, like as, you know, as a fan, as they were there, and if they would ever entertain doing it.
I've been told through grapevines that most of the names you mentioned, it's a great big no.
No, they're not going to do it
ever.
It's
a great big no.
Really?
Now, again, I would never say never because money talks and BS walks. They're still combat sports athletes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it different? Yes. I don't think it's more dangerous than boxing. We've already proven that. I don't think it's more dangerous than MMA. We've already proven that. And how many of these combat athletes have been in a fist fight?
Yeah.
All of them?
I think Gaethje would be a star in this league. I think he would be amazing in bare knuckle. His boxing is so sharp, so crisp.
Well,
and he likes to stand in the pocket and just throw bombs.
I don't want to get in trouble with anybody, but it's really not bare knuckle boxing.
What's not bare knuckle?
It's not. These are not bare knuckle boxing. This is bare knuckle brawling. This is bare knuckle fighting. There's very few fighters that are boxing. That Beck Rawlings Christine fight wasn't boxing. It was a straight. It was a brawl. It's a brawl. You don't see in boxing, which I'm not a big fan of boxing. We all know that. You know, it's never been my thing. They don't stand up next to each other and just throw 447 bombs at each other.
Yeah. No, I know.
So that's all I'm saying. You're saying boxing. You know, Mike Richmond, and I've said this, is probably the cleanest, clearest boxer that I've seen in BKFC. Now, I haven't seen them all. And the one in the events I go to, I don't pay attention to them all. You know, I've got to watch over you, make sure that you're not getting thrown out. Make sure you're not sneaking into places you're not supposed to be.
I mean, working events is what I do.
Working.
I mean, I just find jobs. I show up with no agenda.
Who hired you for this job endeavor?
I didn't really technically
catch
get hired.
His name. I didn't catch their name.
I didn't technically get hired.
All right, let's go ahead a quick break. Coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Statson.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Bernie Williams from the Yankees, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brooks Robinson, and you're talking sport with Randy Harris.
wanted to get something off your chest?
Yeah, this is Matt, and I'm the best at anything I do, so.
Except for when you're not. Except for when you take second.
Except for when I'm second place at these challenges.
All right, well, we appreciate that. Thank you, Matthew. All right, we are back hanging out here at Tournament of Pizza.
Can you believe I got second place? Like, who gets second place?
Losers.
Losers. I mean, like, it's unbelievable that I lost.
What'd you get for taking second?
I don't know. I didn't want it.
Same thing as...
I didn't take it.
Same thing as first place?
I just won disappointment.
I got in trouble, which is ironic. Yesterday, I stopped off at a store, and I ran into an old umpire from the city of St. Pete that probably had thrown me out, without exaggerating, at least 20 times.
Okay.
You know, you get thrown out, you're out for two or three games. I probably got thrown out two or three times a season. So I happened to run across him the other day, and he was, matter of fact, umping a softball tournament, and we took second, and I took it and I threw it in the air and broke it and threw it all in the trash, and the city of St. Pete wrecks and blah, blah, blah. They were appalled. I'm like, it's second place. I'm not taking a second place trophy home or a fourth place or a participation.
Now, some people are just okay with being on the podium, but when your standard of excellence is so high, I can't accept a second place.
Well, but since yours isn't, I'm sure you took the second place.
I didn't take nothing. Didn't even go
obviously
back.
Obviously, you didn't take nothing.
I didn't go anything. I didn't go back. I didn't go nothing.
What was the sin? I'll pretend like I really care.
It's a body transformation, weight loss, muscle building, transformation, competition. And so I already was behind the eight ball because I was already too lean. I didn't have a lot of adipose tissue. I didn't have a lot of fat mass on me. So I got beat by a fat kid who actually took it serious and worked out, and because it was such a shock to his metabolism, he got better results in a shorter period of time because it was so drastic of a change from his lifestyle.
Holy crap, I'm already getting text messages that you called somebody a fat kid. They want your job.
Take it.
Come
take my job. Come take it.
Well, that's what Connor said. Come take this belt.
Yeah, come take it. Come take my job.
So did he win and get a belt just for walking in the cage or the ring? Connor.
He just took it from Lorenzo. That was Lorenzo's belt. Yeah, and then he had him sign it. So just like I have a gladiator helmet in my garage where Lorenzo signed it, and I have like a one-of-a-kind autograph from the double champ, Lorenzo now has an autograph PKFC belt from Conor McGregor, the greatest combat sport champion of all time.
You're an idiot.
The greatest showman of all time. The greatest combat talker of all time.
I'm not sure I'd give him that.
That's trash.
Chael?
I'm kind of bigger than Chael.
I'd put Chael up there.
He's up there, but he's not.
Tito?
No, Conor's still the GOAT. He's still the biggest name in combat sport. For sure.
I'm not disagreeing. The biggest name.
I mean, maybe Mayweather would be the only other one. I mean, Mayweather, Conor, kind of equals.
But you didn't say, that wasn't Ali. That wasn't the stipulation. You didn't say that. Yes, he is probably the biggest name in combat sports.
Yeah, for sure.
Right now, somebody will come along. Somebody will come along.
Maybe Henry Cejudo.
But he came. No, I don't think that
C4.
I don't think that even if Henry Cejudo won 19 belts,
because he's too small.
It's not that he's too small.
It is. That's why your boy didn't get respect. Mighty Mouse. That's why nobody looks at Demetrius Johnson. He never comes up as greatest combat sport fighter of all time. He does. He never gets mentioned in top three.
Sure he does.
John Jones is always up there.
Right.
Ronda Rousey's always up there.
Ronda Rousey's not even mentioned, but go ahead.
Like Conor. Like all these
Conor's people. Never been mentioned as
Khabib. GSP.
Are you just making crap up as you go?
No, I'm just Matt Hughes.
Conor, well, wait a second. I know that you kissed a lot of butt on Saturday. I get that. And there's video. It's on Pornhub.com now, so you can see it.
I was securing people from.
Why would you think that Conor's been mentioned in the top three, the top five?
He was the first double champion.
Means nothing.
Yeah, but the first. He was a pioneer.
First is great. I get first is great. And that's why Conor is where he is, because he was the first trash talker, the first. Don't kid yourself. The accent helps.
Sure, the beard. Beard helps.
Yeah, I don't know if the beard. I don't know if the tattoos, but the accent. You know, who doesn't like the Irish accent?
Getting a suit made, the with the pinstripe, legendary.
You know, his whole gimmick. No, his whole gimmick has been phenomenal, but that's why the next has to be Connor on steroids. Well, I didn't mean it that way, but
are you saying he has to wait for USADA? What are you trying to say?
I wasn't implying that.
The suit was fitting pretty tight on Saturday.
I was implying that the next person has to be Connor, too.
He looked a little uncomfortable. He couldn't really clap. He couldn't even put his hands together.
It needs to be the next level.
He was trying to clap.
And that's what the next person who's going to take the gauntlet and run with. Also, I don't know if you saw, because you were so busy pretending to work, where Justin Gaethje said that it was presented that he was going to be the tough coach, him and Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, I heard that.
And he said that Dustin Poirier turned it down.
That's what I heard.
I can't believe that's all they get paid. And what Justin said, and I don't know if he just randomly made the number $80,000 up, because I find it hard to believe that Connor's doing it for $80,000.
I'm sure Connor's getting points, or you know, he's getting some kind of kickback. He's got to be.
No, he's got to be.
He has to be.
We haven't heard much coming out of that yet.
Well, maybe he's going to BKSC. Maybe he really is going to fight. Maybe he really wants to fight with Perry.
I'd love that.
That would be a massive.
I'd love it for Mike.
Massive fight.
I'd love it for Mike. You know, I don't want, you know, like Luke kind of came in, you know, tried to jump on the bandwagon. I'm glad what happened. I'm not a big Luke Rockhold guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that was a great fight for BKFC.
Oh, of course.
Because, you know, it's like their best champion, their former champion just got beat by our guy.
Again, means nothing. Cause
well, it does.
No, it doesn't, because it's two different sports.
But the average fan doesn't know that. They don't know the difference between UFC, BKFC, Bellator. They don't know the difference. They just see a belt and a champion.
Honestly, you get stupider by the second. You truly do. The people that are watching Bare Knuckle know the difference between bare knuckle and MMA.
Yes, I know that.
They know the difference between BKFC and UFC. Mike Perry beating a former washed up, not my words, what's in the media.
Whoa.
It's what's being posted, not my words.
Look good. His conditioning looked good. His body was like
his
on
teeth
point.
Didn't look good.
I mean, after the fight didn't look good. But I mean, the only other person that looked equally as good is Marcus Davis, who's getting ready to compete for a bodybuilding competition of fitness.
Why would you bring up Marcus Davis's name?
That's your guy.
Why would you bring up his name?
Because you're sharing it on Facebook and trying to get votes for him. Like you're petitioning, you're campaigning for your boy.
This is vent session. I feel like I'm a psychiatrist.
I'm trying to help you, help him.
Maybe you should show up for the pre-show conferences.
Okay.
And you would know that Marcus Davis is coming up on in the second hour.
That's what I'm pre-promoting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to help him out. Like, and I want to make sure he doesn't end up in second place like me, because it's an awful feeling to be second.
All right, and if you lie, you will give away free food for the rest of the day.
Okay.
Did you vote for Marcus?
I have not.
Okay, at least you're honest. So,
but I will.
But you want to promote him. Well, but you can only vote every 24 hours.
Here's the thing.
Hold on. So the longer you wait, the longer it can be before you can vote again. So if you would have voted at 11 a.m. or even earlier whenever I posted it, you would be able to vote again for Marcus tomorrow at 11 a.m.
But here's the thing. Here's my honest answer.
Don't say you don't care about Marcus.
I do care about Marcus. And I love the story of how you sent Eric Mayoral of Knockout Radio to the gym and, you know, told Marcus to take care of business, because he said that
he
wasn't challenged last time he went to that school. But for me, I have so many friends, and there's so many competitions on Facebook, and they all want to vote. And I, you know, I would spend all day voting, registering for all these different things, for beauty pageants, for weight loss, for this, for that. Vote for me. I can win a puppy. You know, like, I don't have time for that.
First of all, you don't have many friends.
I do. I have 5,000.
No, that's Facebook friends.
Facebook.
That's not real.
Those are real friends.
That's not real.
They're my friends.
Yeah,
okay. Just like Tom from MySpace, that was my first friend.
All right. So we're going to go hit a break. If you do not show me proof.
Oh, no.
That you haven't voted for Marcus Davis.
I have to fight him. I can't be second place in two things.
You will not be on when we come back in 3.3 minutes. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone, minus Matt, possibly in 4 minutes. We'll be right back. Our king told the boogeyman, you have to let that rock on the ground. The oil down the desert way has been shed.
take it to the top. The shaky throw his Cadillac. He went cruising down the ville. The prison was a standing.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Carlton Fisk, talking sports with Randy Harris. What do you guys listen for? You crazy or goofy or something?
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.